Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of Auto Know Better with some unfamiliar faces. I knew, know you're used to seeing probably some rather uglier faces on OKB, but we've got some delights on tonight from around the country, and more so with regard to our rivals, shall we say, our rivals to promotion. So we are very kindly, Gilly and I are joined by Tom from Leicester Fan TV. How are we doing, Tom? All right?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Start yourselves.
Spot on, mate. Thank you for asking.
Good, thank you.
Matt is here from Talking Town. How are we doing, Matt?
Oh, yeah, you're right. What odds would you have given an Ipswich fan being on your running show back in the summer?
Hey, I would have given... do you know what? We were talking before, weren't we? I've got a lot of friends who are Ipswich because I live in Suffolk these days.
Yeah, yeah.
And before the start of the season, they were giving it the big and saying, I think we're going to do all right. I think we'll finish mid-table or creep into the playoffs. And I was like... It's a different kettle of fish, mate. You're not going to do that. Like, you're going to be struggling all season. And then, look, I'll eat my humble pie. And you're here on merit and deservedly so. So, yeah, I would have given you massive, massive odds.
Yeah. Good to be here.
Thanks for coming on. And then finally, Martin. How are we doing, Martin? All right, here representing, repping the Saints. I think the Saints were the ones who were probably just about at the pitch at the minute. Is that sound fair?
Yeah, I would say so for their two automatic spaces, yeah. I wouldn't say we're in that running at the moment.
It was a bit of a joke. So I don't know if you saw the Saints view, I think they're called, actually.
It's quite incredible, really. He just kind of made a bit of a laughing stock of our whole fan base, really, when he did it. He put them in the equation. This is about, I think it was about October, November time, wasn't it? Quite incredible. Makes our fan base look a laughing stock. But I think anybody that knows football like we all do, Leeds have got a very good manager in Daniel Farke, a very, very good squad of players. You would have been an absolute fool to have left them out of that promotion automatic race. I think you're possibly looking at the a team that are going to win the league in Leeds. I've had a sneaky feeling about them for a while.
Well, that's music to our ears because I'm sure Gilly and I will lap that up. But we'll snap your hand off for that right now. But we'll get into a bit of a chat. Loads to go at tonight, lads. Thanks ever so much for joining us. We'll run a quick intro and we will we'll get into a bit. Cheers.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Auto Know Better podcast. Let's do this.
You look like fucking Brolin, you're a Leeds hating bastard.
Or some sort of fucking weird floating head. No.
You Tantal playing a bit, innit?
I mean, I feel a bit right, dickhead.
Nothing spectacular, really.
So those of you who are new here, you probably didn't really know what you were letting yourselves in for. So should I let you know? It's quite a light-hearted pod. You know, you're a drop the F-bomb. We're not here to make loads of money or get famous. It is just football chat and it's football banter. So there's no holds barred, and you're more than welcome to call each other names. And I mean, within reason. Come on, let's be a little bit friendly. I know we're rivals, but let's try keep it a little bit fair. So then, I think let's address the elephant in the room to start with, Tom. Leicester, 17 points, I think, at one stage it was, clear of us, certainly in third place at the time, I believe. And I think you were also sort of 8 points clear of I believe it was Ipswich at the time, who were nine in front of us. So where's it gone wrong for you guys so far? And do you expect to take that form into the rest of the season?
You might say it go wrong, but then also you could say, is it a blip that had to come at some point? You know, I said all season that there was a point and we would have a blip and things would drop off. Injuries can hit you. I think we've seen that, the loss of Ricardo and Ndidi the last five, six games, especially Ndidi before Christmas. It really hampered the way we play because we haven't really got another natural number eight. We've got players on loan, but they don't fill that position like Wilfred Ndidi has this season. And who would have thought this time last year we would have been talking about Wilfred Ndidi, the defensive midfielder, going in and playing eight and playing it superbly. I said halfway through the season, even when we're winning game after game, there'd come a point when something would go wrong and it would be how we recover. And I think the Leeds game probably hit us worse than we think. You know, I think we were 1-0 up, we were cruising. Goal disallowed wrongly, but you know, you still have to carry on. And then we get the chance in front of goal, and Daka from 6 yards out puts it wide. You boys, then you get that little bit of lift because we haven't gone 2-0 up, and you smash us, you know. And I think that hit the squad more than ever. You know, then after that game, we lost Ricardo, he's not played since. And for all the stars in our team, Ricardo's probably been the star man this season. Winks has been brilliant, but his partner in crime has been Ricardo. And when we've not had Ricardo playing in that inverted fullback role and going forward, we don't look the same team. The news that he's been available and back in the team for tomorrow and, you know, for the remainder, hopefully the remainder of the season, injury free, could be the difference. The same with the likes of Ndidi coming back. It's not been great. He was looking very pretty at once, but I think you have to give credit to Leeds and Ipswich for keeping up and keep going. When we start making the blip, you boys just carried on rolling and got to the top of the hill, and then we took our foot off the gas, maybe. We had a couple of poor results, but you boys just kept churning the results out every single week. And it was, you know, I'll put my hands up and say Leeds and Ipswich, fair play to you boys. You pulled that back. Yeah, we chucked it away, you could say, but I think you have to say you boys are the ones who kept the pressure on us.
I mean, fair dues. I mean, you mentioned Ipswich there. He mentions Ipswich there, Matt. What? I mean, you had a fair old run on us at one stage as well. So, I mean, we've beaten everybody but Saints in here twice this season. So, you know, we're in good company between Gilly and I until the last day of the season when we meet with Martin and his boys.
Oh,
but,
God.
But Ipswich were actually at one stage much further ahead than us than 9 points. Both Ipswich and Leicester beat some crazy records at a real rate. Did you ever think then, Matt? Did you ever think that you'd be in that position? But did you ever think you were sustainable? Did you ever think that, you know, we are bound to drop at some stage? Because I've thought that all season, and it just hasn't really happened. It's happened in bits, but it hasn't ever really come to fruition, has it?
No, I mean, look, I don't think any Ipswich, look, we said at the start, didn't we? I don't think any Ipswich fan really thought that we would be contesting top two positions to get into the Premier League, having come out of League One last season. But we got off to a really fantastic start. So we had all the momentum last season. Of course, we were just shy of winning the title, fair play to Plymouth. And we're playing the Plymouth role to you this season. Plymouth was a fall in the side to us last season. We thought we'd get 100 points, 100 goals and win the title. We got the 100 goals. We didn't get the 100 points and they pipped us to it. They never went anywhere. And we've been kind of like that this season. I think we've been below fourth, maybe. I'm not sure. I can't remember. So it's been a fantastic run. The momentum of last season, McKenna can do no wrong with the Ipswich fan base. He's been well backed by our owners in the United States. But where it did go a little bit wrong for us was actually Tom against Leicester when George Hurst got the, you know, where we signed you from. He got the hamstring at Portman Road, did his hamstring. And then we were basically without a goal threat for, you know, that back end of December into January until we managed to get Keith Moore in on loan from Bournemouth. And we really struggled without a recognised number nine. You know, don't get me started on losing to Maidstone in the FA Cup, but we had to play, I think it was either Caden Jackson or Nathan Ball they played in the nine in that game. We just didn't have any goal for him. We have scored a lot of goals out of midfield and the three that sit behind the number nine. But for whatever reason, that run of games, Stoke, we drew 0-0. Listen, I think we've scored the most goals in the four divisions, outscoring Manchester City over the last couple of years. But, you know, we just couldn't find our shooting boots. But, you know, we've rediscovered them again going into the new year. And, you know, we've won 7 out of 8. We've only had one blip at Cardiff where we was winning 1-0 into the 90th minute and then did a Bayern Munich against United in the Champions League and chucked two goals in the 94th minute, the 95th, whatever it was.
Didn't play them then, mate. It was that other scum from across the Pennines. There's only one United when you're
sorry,
in this. When
sorry,
in this
yeah,
house.
Yeah, I've got to remember whose house I'm in, right? Yeah. Yeah, Manchester United. But look, we couldn't ask for anything more. To be in the mix here, to be on the show this evening, talking about Ipswich being in a promotion race to the Premier League is stuff of dreams, because it wasn't that long ago. It was only 3 years ago we got taken over by the guys in Arizona, the retirement fund there for Blue Light Services that is in charge of Ipswich. We've had some new money come in over the last week, but they're still the majority shareholders. But under Marcus Evans, we was going nowhere, probably going to League Two, like Portsmouth did. Look, you've seen Oldham, not too far from you boys, drop out into the non-league. So, you know, never say never, but they came in, saved us, and now look, we're knocking on the door of the Premier League, and we couldn't ask for anything more, really. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, I mean, just on that, I mean, I've made similarities, I mean, and not necessarily to playing styles and capabilities and stuff, but what you guys have done this season under McKenna, he's very similar to, you know, he's getting the best out of, arguably a team that isn't probably rightfully where they are in the league based on, you know, based on actual attributes and skill level. But actually, he's getting the best out of those players. He's getting a real tune out of those players. And often getting a good bunch of players that have the same beliefs and everything together, that actually believe that they're better than what they are, and getting that extra 10% out of them is probably, I would argue, that probably more down to McKenna than actually the playing staff.
Absolutely. And he inherited the core of our squad as well. If you look at someone like, Sam Morsey, that was a Paul Cook signing. Ditto Connor Chaplin. We managed to attract some good players. Christian Walton, who's sitting on our bench at the moment, he got injured, goalkeeper, got injured in pre-season, and Haladki come in. He was traditionally our reserve keeper. He's kept his place all season. So Cook did very well in sort of managing to persuade players to come down from the Championship to League One, with a little bit of dough thrown in as well. Let's not forget the American dollar to come in and play for us. But yeah, we've just seen that replicated in the Championship. And he's brought in like Massimo Luongo, who did well at Sheffield Wednesday, didn't get a new contract there because he kept getting injured, couldn't get in the team at Middlesbrough. Been absolutely unbelievable for us in the centre of the park with Morsey. There are two in the middle. So, yeah, we're all, as much as you're surprised, we're all surprised as well. But, you know, we're a thorn in your side, but we're delighted to see it. You know what I mean?
Well, not in our side particularly.
Well,
because we had a couple of good results, Luke.
Just a question on that then. Sorry, Luke, just a quick one on that one. So in terms of the shape of the season and the way that it's gone so far, but looking to next season, if you were to go up automatically, it's that question of, would it be too soon for Ipswich? Would they be able to go again and make that step? I really, really want to see that Derby record stand. So anybody getting promoted, I don't want them being that record.
You've already got the most goals conceded in the Premier League record, haven't you? That's right.
All right.
That was soon as well, wasn't it?
All right, lads, we've all had a drink. Settle down.
Fair play.
Look, Luton have done all right, haven't they, going up? I thought they would be in, they'd be troubling that Derby record, but they've been holding their own. Look, when we previously went up in 2000, 2001, everyone said we'd go straight back down. We ended up finishing fifth, knocking in on door the Champions League, for crying out loud, in the last few weeks of the season. So you just never know. Like you said earlier, Look, George Bulley had a really great team spirit with that, with that side. Certainly in that first season, he kept the core of that team that got us promoted. And again, you saw the momentum of a good manager buying into a style of play, as you alluded to earlier. You know, McKenna's barely lost he's barely lost a handful of games for us. I mean, just unbelievable. I mean, look, I think we lost four last season. We're on five this season. That's nine across two seasons. Look, fantastic. Who knows what the future might hold? But yes, it is, as you said earlier, it's a different kettle of fish getting to the Premier League. And look at Vincent Kompany. We played them in the Cup and we're like, bloody hell, Burnley are going to have a good season when they get promoted to the Premier League. And everyone was talking about Kompany being the successor to Pep Guardiola. I'd argue he wouldn't get a job sweeping out their dressing room now, such as the stock that's fallen. But, you know, that is football for you, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, mate. That's it. Look, when we started, Martin, I know you're not chiming in there because you've, I don't know how you feel about it, but obviously we said earlier on at the start that, I mean, first of all, do we all think that our clubs will get promoted?
Yes.
As a Southampton fan,
Leicester should, shouldn't
they? I'm not convinced.
Leicester should.
I'm not convinced. Leicester should.
Definitely.
You're not convinced, ooh, Martin?
I think we've got a long way to go. I think we've got a really tough run. We've wobbled a bit, haven't we, recently? We started to let goals in. We went on a 25-game unbeaten run, which was quite incredible. It was a club record. Russell Martin did an incredible job in that period of time. Very settled side. It was 23 league games. It was remarkable, really. We didn't see a defeat down at St Mary's between the Ipswich game. And when we lost against Hull a few weeks ago, so it's been an incredible run and it put us in a really good position. But I think the defeats for us against Bristol City away at Ashton Gate, and then to go back to St Mary's and lose to Hull, but then to lose to Millwall wasn't great, really. And the manner of the defeats, and that it looked like a side that lost a lot of confidence, which is really alarming, actually, seeing that we've been on a run that was 25 games unbeaten. I think it all started against Huddersfield at home. We just looked really uncomfortable. We just didn't look comfortable. Let three goals in. And yeah, I just think we're going to need to really show a different mentality coming into this final 10. We've got 10 games. We've got the two games in hand, big two games in hand. And I think we have to walk out of this weekend with 6 points to really stand a really good chance. I think we have to beat Ipswich on Monday. I think it's the biggest game of the season for us. And I think if we don't, I think Ipswich, it puts them in a really strong position for second. It'd be between them and Leicester. They'll fight it out. I still think Leeds will win it personally. But I think, we're going to have to go some. I think we're a playoff side, I've got to be honest.
Really interesting. But obviously, Tom, Matt, you think the position you're in now, do you think automatically you'll both go up, or do you think you'll both go up in another fashion? We'll come on to playoffs a bit later. So, I mean, don't go into too much about who you might play over the playoffs. But you both comfortably think that you will get promoted this season. Tom, I'll tend to ask you first, yeah?
Yeah, no, I think we'll go up. I think we'll go up automatically. I know someone just put in there about EDF points deductions and all that crap. I'm sorry, it is crap because it's penalising the football club and the fans who have spent hard-earned money to get us to where we are this season. And we're quick enough to jump on Forest, Everton and Leicester to get points deduction. But Manchester City, Chelsea can go and splash the cash. 500 million Chelsea have spent in, what, 2.5 years? Not a single point deduction. Borderline, apparently, on FSP. Manchester City have got charges. 140 charges, is it? Not a single point deduction yet. Leicester break the rules, we jump on them. Forest break the rules, we jump on them. The little clubs are getting penalised, but the big clubs get away with it. I think it'd be disrespectful now for this group of players to be penalised at this point in the season. Fine, put us back to the Premier League where we broke the rules and then, you know, make us have the 6 points or whatever you want to charge us, but it happened in the Premier League, not in the Football League. So for me, we shouldn't be points deducted this point of the season now. It's too late to start chucking around and doing that to a club that have done nothing, you know, in the Football League than try and get out of it.
Yeah, where does that end though? Because I know the Football League is different to is separate from the Premier League, but we got our points deduction actually when we went down into the Championship and then in League One as well. So ours was split over two leagues, and I know it's the Football League and they have slightly different rules to the Premier League, but I mean, you're not arguing that you deserve it of some sort of sanction.
if we broke the rules, we broke the rules. But for me, that's happened in the Premiership. And that's a completely different competition. The Premier League broke away from the Football League in 1991, was it 92, when just after Leeds had won the title that season. So why should they now suddenly think it's okay to give us a point deduction when you didn't want to be involved with that when it got broke away in the first point? So, yes, if we've spent, what they're saying, 40 million more in the three seasons, we've broke the rules. Penalise every club. Don't just penalise Leicester and Forest and Everton because they're smaller clubs and it's easier to do it to. Fair play to Leicester for standing up to them. There's talk today that Leicester and Forest are going to go in together into a joint battle against the Premier League. Blimey, who would have thought about that? But if that is true, fair play for the clubs sticking together and going, if you're going to take all these big clubs and the big six on and say, you're okay, you can break the rules, but we're not going to penalise you very quickly. We'll just drag it out a little bit longer. So when the new FFP rules come in next season, oh, well, it's too late now, so you don't get penalised. This is where the thing sits. So for me, yes, point deduction by all means, but that only can happen when we're back in the Premiership. To have that points deduction. It shouldn't be happening in the Football League. If the Football League wants to do a points deduction, they have to do it over a period of 3 years of being back in the Football League for 3 years to see where our account's at.
Fair. I completely hear you and get your point of view, but I mean, as a Leeds fan, our frustrations are that all three teams that finished above us last season all broke the rules. Leicester, Everton and Notts Forest. And it's quite, something might come out. There was rumours that we'd broken the rules as well, but they were soon sort of quashed. So we didn't really, there was no sort of advance on that. But you could see it from a perspective, and I don't want to get into this too much because I know Martin and Matt don't really give a shit. But
points deductions, that's what we want.
Yeah, but I would welcome it this season, but I absolutely see where your frustrations would be. Martin, what's your thoughts? Because you obviously finished rock bottom last season. I know it wouldn't have made all that much difference to you. It wouldn't have made much difference to you, but
difference to us. I think the Premier League just needed to be a little bit more transparent, really. I just don't think it's very transparent at all, and I think none of us really know the ins and outs of it like clearly. It'll drag on for ages, this with Leicester. It'll drag well into the middle of next season. They get promoted, nothing will happen immediately anyway. There'd be a legal battle now, you would imagine, Tom, wouldn't there? And it'll drag for some time. They'll fight their cause, just like Forest and Everton will, but it wouldn't have made any difference to us as a football club. But we were borderline, and I know that this summer business was done by doing loans because they couldn't go out and spend money and they had to balance the books, and they were very careful with the business we were doing down here because we were very close to financial fair play as well.
Yeah.
I just wanted to address another thing as well that's just been mentioned around the Leicester piece is about breaking the rules right now according to the EFL. Because it's my understanding that they're projected to be in a bit of hot water if things don't change by the time that the books would need to be submitted. But actually, the only problem that the EFL have had is that Leicester didn't have to set out a business case because it wasn't for them to actually be in a position where they needed to understand that at that point in time because they'd been in a different competition until that point in time. Tom, is that how Leicester fans see it as well?
I think it is, yeah. I think you hit the nail on there. It was a different competition. The books didn't need to be submitted to the EFL at the time of where they should have been. And now they're saying, well, we want to see the books. Well, hang on a minute. We weren't needing to show you the books when this all happened. Like I say, if we broke the rules, we'll take the punishment. But it's a Premiership rule, not an EFL rule. So, yeah, books next season, completely different story when we have to submit them books to show them where we're at as a club. And if at that point we're still in the Football League and we're still in the Championship, again, points deduction, it happens. For me, it's a shocking rule anyway that clubs should get points deduction because you penalise the club by dropping them down. They're already in a financial mess. You have to look at the bigger picture. I talk about the Portsmouths. I talk about the Reddings. These clubs are going to end up going bust because of points deductions because you're taking them away from a division, probably the size of their clubs at. And every time you're giving them points deduction and you're relegating them, they're getting less and less revenue. Points deduction don't help football clubs. They destroy football clubs and to a point where non-existence. There's got to be a better way for, you know, punishing football clubs than point deduction, in my view. And this ain't just because of what Leicester's done. If they've done it and the rules are there, the rules are there. But I think in a bigger picture for the Football League and clubs that have gone bust, look at Torquay. how many points deduction they've had over the years. This is one of the one great football club talk he used to be, now loundering in what, the third or fourth of the National League South or Southern, looking like they could go bust as well. Do fans, like, I'll ask you guys, do you think penalising clubs by seeing them drop division after division after division to go and bust is the best thing for the football pyramid? Because surely that's not what football's about. I know we all have rivalries and we all have banter, but for me, we should be supporting Torquay. We should be supporting clubs that are really on the borderline of going out of the game because of a points deduction. I think there's a better way to do it.
I hear you, but having been through it a couple of times with Leeds, and obviously we're sort of coming, or I've come out recently of the other end of it. I almost feel there is no other alternative sanction because they've done it for so often now. And if they were to change that, you're opening the can of worms. You know, you think, you know, when is the cutoff for points deductions? When do they decide actually a points deduction? But what is the other alternative? It's a fine, and for richer clubs, it doesn't affect them. It simply doesn't affect them. Go on, Gilly.
I've got a thought. Jail the people that mismanage the businesses, so we could have locked Ken Bates up and actually target the people that make the decisions instead of impacting the fans and the clubs themselves.
You make a point there, and I said jail them, but the Football League have to take responsibility for sanctioning the fit and proper. And half the time, these owners aren't fit and proper for the football club. You know, Reading fans will tell you now that chairman has not been fit and proper and was never fit and proper to run a football club. But now they're quick enough to go, you deserve a points deduction. But you sanctioned someone buying that football club who is never fit and proper in the third place. So it's quick enough to chuck the points, but then you're sanctioning the sales. And over the last 10 years, how many football clubs have been brought by the wrong owners and run into the ground? You guys have had it at point, Leeds. Leeds, you were at a point where you were in a right financial mess. Because
I would argue we've almost all had it in here. Yeah, I know Ipswich were taking a downward spiral not so long ago with under Marcus Evans, and I mean Southampton haven't probably felt that wrath as much.
2009 we had big trouble. We had 10 point deduction. We went into administration. The company that owned the football club did, but there was a 10 point deduction, relegated us to League One at the time, and the club luckily got bought by somebody in transformed, but. Yeah, it hits the fans. It's just a horrible situation to be in.
That shit hits the fans, literally.
It does.
That's the biggest thing. The fans do suffer, don't they, Tom? Because, you know, you've only, like with our American owners that come in, they were very upfront with us to begin with. We're just custodians of your club. They're here for a limited amount of time till they can sell it for a profit, hopefully, for them. Then they move on. But I always say on Talking Town, there for the grace of God to go high when it comes to ownership. Look at Bury. Got promoted, didn't they? With Ryan Lowe and I think Stephen Schumacher as his coach. And it went bust, didn't they? And look at them, and look at them now. It's always the fans that suffer. And, you know, this is that's the wrong side of the coin for me, like you say. The fit and proper persons, you know, that needs to be far more tighter in who can own a football club for me.
No, I completely agree. Anyway, let's great chat about points deductions, and let's hope, well, the four of us in here, let's hope Leicester do get one this season. Are we all in agreement on that? Yeah, maybe, nice, no. Anyway.
Do you know what? If you ask me that, if we've already finished above them, then it'll be a no, absolutely carry it into next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, somebody starting in the Premier League if we get promoted with them. Anyway, we'll come on to a little bit about a bit more about the running if everyone's okay with that. We'll start with you, Martin. So what we've done, we've sent out a graphic to everybody tonight who's joined us, and we've asked them to give us a bit of a rundown on how they feel the season's going to go. And we're going to come to each club, I suppose, and representative of each club individually at different stages through tonight's episode. But we will start with you, Martin, if you don't mind. This is the running for those of you that can see it. I was going to try and get it so we move to the side, but I'm not clever enough. I don't know if, Gilly, you can maybe sort that for in a minute or two when we do come onto it. But just looking at that image then, you've obviously seen it, Martin. You've obviously got 10 games left. You've broken those down, I suppose, for each club and how many points each team's going to finish on. And if you just want to give us a bit of a run back on where you see people finishing and on what points tally.
Yeah, I've had a good research of all the features, but I also watched a bit of YouTube content as well. There's some good creators that have been looking at like the average points that each club have picked up over the season and sort of what sort of points tally their finish on. but we really are at the business end of the season, aren't we? Where, like, this is where it really counts. I think this Easter Monday is huge for all of us, for all clubs involved in this top two race. I think for Leeds to play Hull, it's a really tough game, as we found out down at St Mary's. Rossini is a very good manager, very well organised side. I think that's a really, really tough game for them. And then obviously the Foxes, they've got Norwich. Norwich are in really good form under David Wagner. They could have sacked him earlier in the season. They didn't. They stuck with him. They're right in the mix for the playoffs. They're fighting for a playoff place. And be between them.
Settle down, Martin. Settle down, son.
Yeah. I think you actually hate Norwich. Of course you do. I like to see Coventry probably do it if there's ever a team to do it. A little bit of a soft spot for them. But I've kind of gone through. I think Leeds win it for me. I've looked at their fixtures. And if you look at like the average points per game they're getting at the moment, it's quite incredible. The return. I know there's two Leeds fans in it. I'm not just saying it because of that. I've been saying it for a while. I think they're averaging 2.84 points per game at the moment, Leeds. That'd give them 105 points if they do that. That would be an incredible return if they do that. They've got the more experienced manager as well, for me, in Daniel Farke. He's been there, seen it and done it with Norwich. I think the other three managers are just a little bit more inexperienced, probably in this business end of things. So I just think it's Leeds over the line. I just don't really see where Leeds are going to slip up. I look at Watford at the weekend, could, you know, a few injuries I hear at Leeds, but should win that one. The whole City game looks tough on paper, as does the Coventry. But if they can get through the next three games in really good shape, it could be done and dusted by the time they play Southampton on the final game of the season. That's how I look at it. I also think if Ipswich can beat Southampton, I think they'll fight it out with Leicester. But I've got an edgy feeling that I think Ipswich go on and do it. There will be a shock. I think Tom's going to hate me, but if you look at the average points per game that they're the return from at the moment, 2.7 points per game, it'd give them 98 points if they keep going like that. It would be quite an incredible return. But they need to beat Southampton. I would say if they can beat Southampton in that game on Monday, it would give them belief. But I think Leicester fans would be hoping that Southampton get a result in that one, you would say.
Right. Interesting. So just to run that back, Martin, you've got Leeds top.
He's going to hate me, Tom, but have a feeling that Ipswich might just edge it, but I think it's real neck and neck. I can't call it. I think it's between the two. I think Southampton, I think we'll finish fourth. I don't see us being in the top two contention. I think we'll finish where we are now. That's my gut feeling, and I just think it'd be a shootout between Ipswich and Leicester for second place. But Leeds win it for me.
And in terms of sort of your fixtures, you've obviously got quite a condensed fixture list compared to everyone else with the cancelled games. You've got a lot of games. I think you're playing two or three times a week right up to the end of the season now.
There's a game every three days. Yeah. We got Middlesbrough tomorrow, obviously, at St Mary's. We then head to Portman Road on Monday to play Ipswich. We've got Blackburn next weekend. So I'd say the next three are crucial. And then we've got three home games in a row: Coventry, Watford, Preston, all at St Mary's. I prefer us playing away from home than I do at St Mary's. And then we've got Cardiff away, Leicester away. Then we've got Stoke at home and then head to Elland Road on the final day. I think it's going to be tough for us. We need to find eight wins, really. Maybe more out of the 10. I think, you know, it would be hell of an ask of Russell Martin to do it. But he just really needs to get back to playing his best team, play round pegs in round holes, and he's tinkered a little bit recently, and we're leaking goals, so it worries me. Fair. But that's my gut feeling on it.
No, fair, Martin. And just out of those 10 fixtures, then how many points do you see Southampton taking from those last 10?
20 maximum.
Maximum of 20.
If we got to 25, it'd be unbelievable to get to 98, but I don't think we will. My gut feeling.
So you think 25 leads. So let's say 20. Realistic total. So you've got Southampton finishing on 93 points. Yeah.
Yeah, around about 93 points, I reckon.
Good stuff. Cool. Okay. thanks ever so much for that. We will come to each and everyone and get your team's thoughts in as we're going through. But I just wanted to have a chat now. A couple of you have already mentioned management and managers and how important they potentially could be at this stage of the season. Obviously, Matt, you've been there, done it with McKenna last season, still riding that crest of a wave. How much do you think, and I've already sort of given him his flowers already based on, you know, the similarities and the tune he gets out of his team and his players. Obviously, you had the benefit of a couple of the internationals dropping out from and retiring from international football as well, when potentially they could have been going to AFCON or out to Australia as well. How important is McKenna going to be to you guys in this running? And what attributes has he got that maybe, you know, Martin hasn't got or Maresca hasn't got?
I think with McKenna, when he was appointed and, you know, he came in, he's always had this vibe about him that things would work out for him at Town. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you get managers in, don't you, think this isn't going to end well. Like when we had Paul Lambert come in for Town, right? You just knew at some point he was going to get the elbow, the old Spanish archer. But with McKenna, he's always had this vibe, you know, like Ready Break, got that golden glow around him. He's always had that kind of around him. And look, I've had a bit of a love-hate relationship with him at some point. I remember, you know, back when, on the last year, February, Valentine's Day, we drew 0-0 at Bristol Rovers and he was tinkering with the team. And, you know, we had Connor Chaplin and Broadhead on the bench and, you know, we were dropping down the table while Sheffield Wednesday were getting further away from us. And, you know, we had a game with Sheffield Wednesday. We went two down. We could easily have gone three down if Michael Smith hadn't had a terrible touch around the keeper. It was like a bloody beach ball at Walton on the Naze. And it went flying off. We could easily have gone three down. So there's been lots of sliding doors for Kieran, to be fair. But, you know, sometimes to be on the right side of luck and be that lucky manager, and then you combine that with kind of the talent level, the opportunity that he's got and the backing he's got, and we find ourselves where we are in the championship. But I don't know. How does the story end for McKenna? Like, he's been linked with clubs. He's been linked with Brighton. He's been linked with Crystal Palace. You know, but it seems like he's enjoying being part of the project. You know, in a week's time, we go to Norwich, Carrow Road. They've had this decade of domination, I like to call it, over us. You know, can we go to Carrow Road and finally get a win? We have not won there for God knows how long. I couldn't even tell you. They've even beaten them at Pullman Road since about 2009. We drew 2-2 this season. That bit me on the arse a little bit because I said they were going to get a shellacking. God damn it. But look, as you rightly said earlier, he's still a novice manager. I mean, look, it wasn't so long ago. He was working in youth football for Tottenham and Manchester United. And we've given him a chance. And that was only like 2.5-3 seasons ago, less than that. So we will see. But sometimes, you know, you throw people into the deep end and, you know, they, as you said earlier, they come out with flowers, don't they? So we will see. It's a journey into the unknown, but sometimes the unknown, it favours the underdog, which we are certainly in this battle.
Oh, you're on mute, Luke.
I'm muted because my dog's going mad in background. So,
saying. Angered him.
Sorry. There's actually a lot of love in the comments for McKenna. I've seen, record-breaking season for Ipswich. Yeah, McKenna is a manager going places. Ipswich will want to hang on. But I suppose the main question is that's come from these comments for me is, are Ipswich worried about losing McKenna regardless of what happens this season?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, we talk about this all the time with Salkin Town. It's always coming in. I mean, look, it's the Vincent Kompany story again, isn't it? I mean, do you go up with, say we get promoted, do you go up with the club and try and do something in the Premier League with them? Or do you go to Brighton or West Ham now, or Wolves, whoever it might be, that kind of mainstay club that is looking to push on into, Brighton and West Ham have obviously been in Europe previously this season, looking to do it again. So do you chance your arm there? You can see how quickly your stock can fall. As we said earlier with Vincent Kompany and, but McKenna seems to be a sensible guy. Look, he's not played the game at any level. I mean, he retired before he was even 21, I think, when he was at Tottenham. So he's been coaching himself to be a coach all this time now that he's 36, 37, 38, something like that. So he doesn't really come with the ego of what a player used to have. He just seems very sensible, analytical, very respectful, humble person. Certainly that's what he presents to the cameras. I've never met him, so I don't know what he's like behind the scenes. But I think he'll make the decision that's good for him, whether or not he'll think continuing with Ipswich as a project is good. As you guys said earlier, different kettle of fish in the Premier League. It's very difficult to pick up points. Or do you go on and, you know, pick up the baton with a club that plays your style of football, be it a Wolves, a West Ham, Brighton, a Palace, whatever it might be. They're the options, I think, for him.
Yeah, fair point. And just sticking with the theme of managers then, Tom. Maresca said it wasn't a big game for them. It was just another game quite recently. Do you think that shows a bit of a lack of respect to I suppose to the fixture, but to the league as well? And do you think that could be his downfall? And obviously your form suffered almost immediately off the back of that. So will he have the experience, I suppose, coming from City and being a number two? Or was he the youth manager, or was he Pep's number two at one stage, wasn't he, as well, I think?
Pep's number two was last season, yeah, when he won the treble.
That's right. So, I mean, he's obviously learned a lot from Pep, but there's a lot of bad habits that Pep's probably got as well that he might have picked up along the way. So where do you think Maresca stands in this battle?
I think, firstly, the comment he made was a stupid comment. As soon as I read it, I was like, that's the worst thing he could have said. He put the fire in the bellies of the Leeds players. The team talk was done. I think that was very inexperienced management from him, in my view. He's not up there with the elite managers of Alex Ferguson, Wenger, who could get away with these mind games and saying comments like that, thinking they would have a big effect on the team they were playing. But that really, I just cringed when I heard it. I was just thinking, why have you said something like that? And it was the biggest game of the season for us as well. Of course it was. If we'd beaten you, we would have gone 12 points clear, I think, at the time in that point of the season. It was a silly comment to come out with. And it probably has backfired on him massively. And hopefully the players have not looked at it too much. But look, I think you remember this is Maresca's proper first full season and a manager. He had a little bit at Parma where it didn't really work out for him, but he's never really had a full-time manager's job, you know. So he's going to make mistakes. Yes, he's worked with the best manager in the world, let's put it that way, in Pep Guardiola. But that doesn't mean you become the best manager in the world from working
second with someone. Best after Bielsa, by the way. But yeah, I'll take your point.
Sorry.
According to Pep Guardiola, that is.
According to Pep. I forget that. But yeah, you know, you don't become a great manager just because you've worked with the great managers. As the saying goes, you can be a great football player and world-class doesn't mean you're going to be a great manager. Look at Rooney. Doesn't mean nothing. You can have all the ability in the world, but stepping up and being a manager is completely different. I think McKenna's shown that, didn't really have a playing career, but then has become out, had a great coaching career and worked his way up the Football League and now has got himself in a position to have a crack at it as a championship manager, or League One, then championship. And he's now taken it and the players are respecting it for how he's done it. Enzo's obviously come in and turned a club round. Let's not get wrong. We were in a massive, massive dark place after relegation last year. You know, to get the players on side. Yeah, you've signed some players, but he signed characters. He signed players that were fighting for the shirt. What we were missing, you know, I don't look at the players who went down and left as fighters. Madison, pretty boy. Tillerman, pretty boy. They didn't want to fight for the shirt. He brought in a leader in Cody. He brought in Harry Winks, who's a brawler. He brought in players that wanted to fight for him and the club. And if you listen to all the players speak about him, they speak so highly because of the amount of hours he puts in to try and work out to beat the opposition and give that to the players. So, look, first full season, if for me, he's done a fantastic job, you know, but maybe the inexperienced comments, that's where it could be his downfall at the end of the season.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, Maresca's not getting as much love in the comments, I'll be honest with you.
That's understandable.
Naturally, it's a Leeds podcast. But Jay's got asked another question. Do you think the comments might make the players doubt Maresca's ability? I suppose he's guessing his ability or his managerial prowess up until the end of the season. As I said before, the form certainly suffered since those comments. So do you think that's put any doubt in the players' minds? Oh, hello.
Sorry, mate, I broke up there. What was that, bud?
Sorry, mate. I was just saying there. Do you think that those comments and certainly the form resulting of those comments since then might have put any doubt in the players? Obviously, you've got players who've been about a bit in Harry Winks, and they've played under some great coaches. Do you think they might then be doubting Maresca in any way?
No. I think, as I said earlier, I think that the blip had to come at some point. We were never going to keep winning games and go on a stupid run of to the end of the season without losing some more games. The Championship is the toughest league in the world. I've watched Leicester enough years in this division. It is not easy to get out of. I think the biggest turning point for us when we lost to you boys was obviously the loss of Vardy for a couple of games. Ricardo was a massive loss. I said it before, Ricardo is the heartbeat of that team. When Ricardo doesn't play, we have to play Hamza Chowdhury. Hamza Chowdhury is nowhere near the class or any ability of Ricardo Pereira in the middle of that midfield.
Is Pereira your captain?
He's been captain most of the season when he's played, yeah. He has put the armband on. We've not really got one club captain this season. Maresca made it clear from the start. I've got six or seven captains. I will not name one as the club captain. So depending who's played.
That gives me shudders. That gives me shudders of our leadership group last season.
Yeah. Depending who's played. It's normally Vardy. Vardy starts and he takes the armband. If Vardy doesn't start and Pereira takes the armband, normally out of the two of them. But I think that's been our biggest problem for the last four or five games is losing Ricardo Pereira. What's given me confidence going into this back end of the season is the performance at Stamford Bridge. First half, we did all right against them. Second half, we should have beaten them. You know, if you don't get the red card, we probably go on to win that game. But the performance of having Wilford and Diddy back in that eight role, it just makes a big difference. And I think that's why I'm still confident we'll go up because of having Ndidi and Ricardo have both been declared fit for tomorrow back in this squad going into that final nine games for us.
Yeah, wicked. Thanks ever so much, Tom. And last but not leastly, Martin, we'll have a bit of a chat around Russell Martin. Obviously, you've got the you know, you're playing Ipswich very soon. He had a bit of a spell. Well, I think majority of his career was actually at Ipswich, wasn't it? Martin's career. Martin played for Norwich, didn't he, for a long time, Russell Martin?
Played at Norwich, yeah.
That's right. I thought I was getting mixed up with somebody else, but obviously he played there. He's obviously been a manager for quite some time. Was it Milton Keynes, I think, and Swansea? Didn't do overly well at Swansea, but we did all right with an average side. I think he moved them from sort of lower mid-table up to higher mid-table in the two seasons he was there. Plays a particular style. He doesn't seem to change that. Do you think that could be his downfall, or do you think he's got enough? Has he got enough plans? Has he got a plan B? You watch him every week. Tell us.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about the plan B. Does Russell Martin have a plan B? He's 38 years old, Russell, so he's a young manager. Like I say, he had the season at Milton Keynes, and then he had a couple at Swansea. He's got a style of football that he wants to play. It's using the goalkeeper almost as an outfielder. Plays a lot out from the goalkeeper. And they like to keep possession of the ball and work it through. Sometimes they're not quick and as fluid as they need to be, like say Ipswich are. They just move the ball a bit quicker than us. He's got a very, very good squad of players. I think he's got an incredible squad of players when you look at what he's got at his disposal right now. I think he's got Premier League players all over the place. It's just utilising everyone and putting them in the right positions. Now, we had an injury to Flynn Downs, who's on loan from West Ham. He's been outstanding for us in central midfield, and Russell didn't trust a young lad that we brought in the summer. We paid over £10 million for a player called Shay Charles. As a holding midfielder, Shay Charles, he plays in the six. He didn't trust him when he really needed him when Downs got injured. And he kind of almost made so many changes to accommodate the loss of Flynn Downs. So it's really important that Flynn's fit now for the final 10 games. But yeah, he doesn't have a plan B. He want to continue to play the way that he plays. He trusts it, his players trust it. And the arm at St Mary's a lot, and they hiss and they boo and they don't like the way it goes, you know, from fullback to fullback, the fullback football. But it is what it is. It's not going to change anytime soon. So let's, you know, they have to get behind it as a fan base now and back it, because it won't change. And you know, and if he doesn't get us automatic promotion or promotion back to the Premier League, the owners will make a call on it. You know, their aim at the start of the season was to get automatic promotion back to the Premier League. They said it was an absolute necessity, which it is financially because of the players and the contracts and what they have to shell out. And if they don't go back up, the club will be in a bit of a mess come the summer. So, he'll be judged at the end of the season. But we went 25 games unbeaten. That's some going by a manager.
It is. You'll have to forgive me. I don't remember which game this was, Martin, but there was a game that I watched the end of, and he spat his dummy out a little bit, didn't he? I don't remember who he came on the pitch. He wouldn't shake somebody's hand. The opposition goalkeeper. Was it in the cup, maybe?
It was the Millwall goalkeeper.
It was Millwall.
Now, we've had a lot of goalkeepers time wasting. You'll see it, Matt, at Portman Road. Gilly, you'll see it at Leeds United. Tom, you see it all the time. Goalkeepers, they waste time, don't they? And
they can play for a point, don't they? Well, a lot of teams in the league.
Yeah. I work with a goalkeeper that plays in the Championship, and I know for a fact he wastes time. He's told me he will.
Are you allowed to name him?
Yeah, Asmir Begovic.
All right, nice.
Yeah, I work with him, and I know a referee that referees a bit of Championship football. And he goes, I booked your mate the other day for time wasted.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
But they do. But at the end of the game, you shake hands with everyone, no matter what. It was against his principles and whatever, but it looks sour. It doesn't reflect on the football club particularly well. It creates noise that you don't want around your football club and negativity that you don't want. I just shake everyone's hand at the end of it. It's a game of football. There's far bigger things in the world going on. Do you know what I mean? Just shake hands. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, I mean, we've been lucky enough to have some real good managers in recent times, and managers that have certainly
not so good managers two, as well.
Certainly two, anyway. Yeah, that have almost led by example, and I include Farker in this. And I think Marcelo Bielsa is probably the only other one that I would probably include in this recent. Maybe Javi Gracia, but we didn't really see enough of him. But they have a real sort of belief that football should be played a certain way, and as you say there, if you shake hands with everybody, you know there's a certain level of respect that should be given to everybody and anybody, whether they're a ball boy or whether they're a chief executive of a football club. Now, obviously, when I seen Russell Martin do that, I think it showed a little bit of immaturity. Obviously, he's a young manager. He is a young manager. Yeah. But yeah, the first thing I thought when it was in my head was, what would I think if my manager did that, you know, as a footballer or as a rugby player, as any sport? But it's almost setting the wrong example, and I just wondered whether or not that might have had an impact on players and rubbed off on them the wrong way. You know, similar question to Tom. Do you think potentially the players might have maybe lost a bit of respect for him for that?
Going a little bit on this, I've been the privilege to work for a professional rugby club for 12 years, from a very young age to the Leicester Tigers. So I grew up where you learn respect very quickly, working those boys as a groundsman. So I worked for 12 years. The first I walked in, Martin Johnson was sitting next to me in a chair. I was like, he just looked at me and went, you haven't a clue who I am. No, I haven't. I'm a football fan. I hadn't got a clue who he was. From then on, though, I learned the respect, how they build respect, and have referees in the Premiership rugby. It's completely different to football. You know, I've gone and watched football as a kid, and the referees getting absolutely destroyed by players. In the Premiership, the players walk on to go, thanks, ref, and just walk off.
There's a
massive difference when you look at the respect between the two cultures of rugby and football. And I think the point I look at it from a game the other week in the FA Cup was Mark Robbins having a go at a ball boy, because he left because he held the ball a bit longer. And then obviously, Koff scored. He then ran in front of the ball boy and I go at him. What's that setting to another generation, but that's acceptable? We all get frustration by time wasting. I think, like you said earlier, we've all sat in our grounds where teams have come, and as soon as they get the first goal, you know what they've come for. They're happy to sit back now for the next 45 minutes, just hoping that you can't break them down. So it is frustrating at times. I know what your boys are saying. I can promise you that now.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a gulfing class ultimately between both codes of rugby and football. I think football, with the amount of money that's involved in it, they could learn a lot from rugby, both with the video refereeing and everything else. But that's a whole nother debate. We could probably spend another hour or two on that, you know. But just to go back to the question about respect, Martin, have you seen any of the players react since then in terms of their not necessarily their performances, but maybe, I mean, you're in the ground week in, week out. You know how people are when they're coming off the field and whether or not they've lost potentially that bit of respect for Russell Martin.
No, I don't think so. I think sort of certainly a lot of fans looking in from the outside would have looked at it in a not great way. And as someone that's watched football for 35 years plus, I was really disappointed with it. Like my dad's watched Southampton since he was a young boy. You know, he was the same, really disappointed in it. But all in all, the one thing Russell has done down here, he's really brought the fan base together. We had a really broken fan base a year ago. Everybody hated each other. Nobody had a good word to say about the football club. We had two dreadful managers in the space of 6 months. The club was the pits, really. We lost a lot of players, and it was a big job to take on. And I think the 25-game unbeaten run that Russell put us on, and what that the feeling that it brought around the football club to give us that opportunity where we could bounce back to the Premier League. I think he's bought himself a lot with that run. I've got to say, he has got the fan base on board at the moment. The majority of them, there are a few that are sceptical, a bit like myself, whether the style of play would play out in playoff semi-finals of playoffs. Will we get away playing with the way we play? And that will be on the manager. And there's a lot of people sceptical about that. But I think he's got a lot of people on side down here, I've got to say.
Fair play. Right, we'll come on to the second instalment of the running, and we'll come to you, Matt, if you don't mind. Where are we? Share screen, and I can hopefully get that up for everyone else to see. There we go. Wicked. So there we are, Matt. Give us your rundown and who's finishing where. For you.
Give you the rundown. Yeah. So I've got Southampton finishing with 90 points, Martin. You ain't getting 20. Come on. This is not fairy tale. I can see you out of the 10. I can see you winning 5, probably drawing 2. I can see you probably dropping 3 games, Leeds and Leicester, I think. I can see you maybe losing at Blackburn or Cardiff, potentially. But I still think that's a really good return. I mean, look, how competitive is this? We're talking about the fourth place team in 90 points. They got you second last season. See how crazy it is this year. I mean, bloody hell, Luton got promoted out of the playoffs on 80 points, didn't they? So I think probably Southampton are going to finish on 90. And if I'd said to you, Martin, at the start of the season, you're going to finish on 90 points, you'd probably think you'd be promoted, wouldn't you, automatically?
Yeah. Well, you were bitting your hand off for 90 points.
Yeah. In third, I think Ipswich are going to finish third. That's where I think we'll finish. I've been a little bit conservative with our points total. You're always a little bit more harder with your own child, aren't you? But I could see maybe a run of draws coming. I was chatting to the Cruncher off our show, Rich Moss. We were talking about this earlier today. I can see probably us against Blackburn tomorrow on Sky being a draw. I still think going to Ewood Park is going to be a tough one. They need points to stay up. I think Town and Southampton will be a draw on Monday. And I think potentially going to Carrow Road could be a draw, given it was at Pullman Road earlier in the season. So I think we'll finish on 94 points. I still think we'll probably, even though we've lost 5 all season, I do think we'll probably drop a game or two. We swiped Hull at Pullman Road quite easy, 3-0. But I think going there might be a different story. And I agree with Liam Rossini being a really good manager. If McKenna was to go, I certainly think he'd be on our list of a new manager. I think he's good. He was a good pundit as well on Sky, if you think back.
He was.
So I think he's good. And we could potentially, our game at Coventry with them now being in the FA Cup semi-final against Man United, that's been put back now until the penultimate game of the season, midweek, April the 30th. That's going to be a tricky one as well. I think we're going to finish on 94 points. Again, bloody Arthur would be champions if you told me that in August. But there you go.
Isn't it? Yeah.
And then I went in. So what the flip of the coin is it going to be Leicester or Leeds as champions, right? And I went into this thinking Leeds are probably going to be the champions. And Tom, I've got you as champions. I've got you finished on 99 points. So look, Leeds, I think, have been phenomenal at home. Look, you absolutely took us to school at home. Not many teams have really taken us to school this season. West Brom did at the Hawthorns, albeit they only beat us 2-0. Should have been 3-0. My namesake, Matt Phillips, missed the chance from about 2 yards out. But Leeds really took us to school at Elland Road. And, you know,
not going to lie, Matt, I thought that's who was coming on tonight and I was slightly disappointed.
Yeah, sorry. The disappointment is, you know, I'm sorry about that. But yeah, I think Leeds will finish with 97. I could see you winning 4, drawing 3 again. I think you could drop one against either maybe Borough or Coventry. Those are away games for you. I think they could be tough. You just never know the championship, do you? I mean, look, you went, you had 2 Yorkshire derbies, didn't you, in quick succession? Drew at Huddersfield, but beat Sheffield Wed. And a resurgent Sheffield Wednesday as well. So you really don't know. So I've got you of 97. I've got Leicester finish on 99. They've got the game in hand. I think they'll win 5, draw 2, potentially lose 2. I think Bristol City's a tough game tomorrow, I think that is. West Bromwich Albion, I really like I say earlier, they really did a number on us at the Hawthorns. I think Carlos Corberan's a really good manager. Again, I would have him on our radar if McKenna was to go. I just really like, we've shipped a lot of goals this season. And of course, he is a Bielsa protege, isn't he? Right. So, I mean, perhaps he'd be on your radar. Who knows? But so I've got Leicester finishing.
You've scored a lot, though, haven't you? You've scored a lot of goals. And not only have you scored a lot of goals, you've shared them around quite a lot.
Yeah, we have. We have. I mean, when McKenna came in here, I thought he was going to be like a really conservative kind of manager, to be honest with you. Score a lot of goals and keep it tight at the back. And that was kind of, League One's different gravy, isn't it? But I mean, that was kind of the story in League One. But we've gone into, look, my favourite era of Ipswich Town managers as a kid growing up was Joe Royle. Bloody hell, I mean, we beat Crewe 6-4 once. We scored that 90 goals in 89. It's unbelievable finish and finished third. There's lots of hallmarks of this season that are kind of replicating that Joe Royle area. And, you know, we were very unlucky not to go up in first or second that season. We did finish third on about 89 points, I think. I think we're going to finish third again, but with 94. But I can see Leeds 97, Leicester 99. But look, these are games where, you know, that you could flip a coin. It could easily turn. But for all four teams to get into 90 points, as we'll try and predict him, is unheard of in the championship.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you ever so much for that, mate, Matt. Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's for the neutral, it's probably quite good to watch. But for me, I'm shitting myself every game. Like, I just don't want to drop points. And I'll be honest, like, I go into every game and I expect the worst. And then it doesn't seem to happen. But it's almost inevitable that it feels like it's going to happen. We've obviously, the next segment or bit, if you like, is we're going to talk about sort of squads for the running. We're obviously quite lightweight after the did a bit of a it swallowed my own tongue then. We've had an unfortunate international break. We've had the Welsh lads unfortunately go out, 4 of them playing for us, one of them coming off injured, one missing the final penalty as well. So we don't know what sort of state they're going to be in emotionally. We've had Willie Nonto, Ilya Gruev, Rutter all have knocks of some sort. So we're a patched up side for this, certainly for Watford tomorrow. What's the shape of your squads looking like after this international break? More for the sort of immediate future rather than sort of the running. We'll start with you then, Tom. Any doubts? Obviously, you mentioned that Pereira and Ndidi are back, which is you're probably good news for you. But is there anything else more worrying?
No, I wouldn't say worrying-wise. I think the biggest news, obviously, was the news that Vardy is fit after a calf strain that he missed against Chelsea. The shithouse is back to shithousery for the rest of the season. Obviously, Ndidi and Ricardo are available. Dennis Pratt comes back into the availability as well. You can play a number 8. So he's obviously a very good Belgium international player to bring back into our squad. I think the only ones who have got knocked during the international breaks were Tom Cannon, and Ben Nelson, and then long term is obviously McAtee's still out with a knock. He's 2 or 3 weeks away. So before the international break, we had a bit of a hitty list. It seems like Leeds are now taking the bit of the injury list, and Leicester have started to get some of their key players back for the running.
Yeah, I think this. I think this period as well, this busy Easter period where everyone's off work and everyone's hammered and eating loads of chocolate and that, this is quite an important stage of the season when there's four teams potentially involved in this running. So I think these next two fixtures are for me the most crucial up until the rest of the season. I think if any of the four teams can get through these two fixtures with 6 points, I think they'll go a long way on to continue in that form up until the next season. Martin, how's the squad shaping up, mate, for this weekend?
Yeah, we should be really happy that the international break came and it did, and we were out of the FA Cup. It gave us an opportunity to get a few faces fit because we lost Ryan Fraser in the Millwall game at home. We lost him for a month with a knee injury, and he's been so good for us. He's on loan from Newcastle. He's been outstanding. And we would have gone to Leicester, gone to the KP, and not had Carl Walker-Peters as well. He's been out injured. And he would have been a massive miss there for us. He's one of our best players in our side, Carl Walker-Peters, along with Ryan Fraser. They're both available for selection, as Mark Russell said, which is brilliant. David Brooks has come back from international duty. He wasn't well for a few days. He didn't play a great deal of football while he was away. He came on as a sub in the game against Poland. He came on as a sub and he went off as a sub.
They took him off, didn't they? Yeah,
and he's just been unwell. So I'm not sure he'll start tomorrow, but he's available for selection. Jan Bednarek was the same. He's come back. He's fit and available. So Russell's got a full-strength squad available, which is really good. The only absentee is Ross Stewart, who we signed in the summer, and he's not really kicked a ball since anyway. So we've written him off anyway. No one's really thought about him. So all in all, I'm really happy with our squad, and we're going to need it with the 10 games that we've got to play. So we're in a good place.
Yeah, this chat's, I wish we hadn't bothered. It's making me more nervous. Like, it's, you know, we're having to rent like St. Jimmy's Hospital beds for our players. There's that many on the injury treatment. And yeah, I think we might be up against it this weekend. Matt, how's the squad looking there? I think relatively good.
Yeah, relatively good for us. Yeah, George Hurst is back on the grass. We mentioned earlier he got injured in that Boxing Day game against Leicester. Whether or not he'll return this season, I don't know. One person we know isn't going to be playing again this season is Wes Burns, who's been pivotal for us really on the right-hand side. He did his hamstring against Sheffield Wednesday. We beat Sheffield Wednesday 6-0 on, you know, everything was rosy in the garden, but that injury that he got in the first half, you know when a player goes down, you just think, this ain't looking good. Everyone had that kind of vibe about it, and so that's a bit of a killer blow for us. I mean, he's been a pivotal player. Again, a Paul Cook signing that McKenna has managed to get the best out of. So he's going to be a big miss for us. But we've got Mari Hutchinson on loan from Chelsea. He can play in the number 10 role, all play out on that right-hand side. So as long as he stays fit, we're looking good. If we were to lose someone of his ilk, then to lose both right-sided players would be a blow for us. Connor Chapman didn't play against Sheffield Wednesday. He's been pretty much a mainstay for us all season. He's in double figures, I think, for goals for us. And he didn't play against Sheffield Wednesday. McKenna is always sort of plays his cards close to his chest on terms of injuries. So whether or not he returns tomorrow against Blackburn, I'll have to see. I've not seen his press conference that he did today. We've had Cameron Burgess away with Australia, central defender. So he's had to go all the way to Sydney to come back again to go to Ewood Park. Is that going to be too much for him? Don't know. A lot of travel, 24 hours each way. George Edmondson could come in and replace him. That's happened before. Happened against West Bromwich Albion at the Hawthorns. So we're pretty much in good shape. But Wes Burns is going to be a huge miss. I mean, we were 2-1 down against Bristol City on Sky a few weeks ago. And Burns came off the bench and, you know, got man of the match from everybody. Only played 20 minutes and turned the game on its head. So he will be a big miss for us. But Amari Hutchinson, Chaplin, Marcus Harness, Broadhead, we've still got some good players there. And, you know, Broadhead played against Finland and Poland in those Euro qualifiers, as did Kiefer Moore. They've come through with no injuries. So we're looking all right, to be honest.
Yeah, that's not helped me at all. Cheers for that.
Yeah, sorry about that. That's all you wanted to say, wasn't it?
I mean, sounds really, really positive. And I think before we did a show before the international break, and I put a poll out. I says, has it come at the right stage? Because we were looking a bit leggy. We were starting to, you know, we were struggling. We were getting results, but we were struggling. And Gilly will back this up. We looked tired, didn't we?
Knackered.
we got told this before we went to Ellen Road, though. Oh, they're looking leggy. They're looking knackered. Yeah. You've been 3-0 up at half-time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
The conversation was that actually the international break's come. I disagreed, but the general consensus was that it'd come at a good time, this international break, and that everybody was, you know, happy for the rest. Now the international break's been, everyone's like, fuck the international break. We don't ever want to see one of them again in our life. And we're in a position now where, you know, we're probably going to be going into Watford with half of our probably starting 11, maybe not available, maybe up to half of them. You know, Gruev, Nonto, Rutter, certainly. Roberts might have been in for a start. So we're in a position now where we're missing certainly some key players. Thankfully, hopefully not for too long.
I think some of the comments on that were around the a misconception, because it was right. We're not in the Premier League anymore. A lot of those international players that we did have, they've moved on, and it's kind of almost we've still got quite a few international players, so it's not a break. They're not getting a break. We, as fans, we've got an international break. We've got to deal with the fact that we don't get to watch any Championship football. We don't get to find out a little bit more about the story of the season. But, you know, Kamara was one that spoke about, that people had spoken about looking leggy. He played a lot of football. He'd been playing in midfield, and he'd been getting all over the pitch, and he'd looked a little bit leggy. He'd gone on his place. So, you know, it's not that they've necessarily had a rest. We've just had to deal without having a domestic football during that period. That's all. And if you look at, you know, each of our sides can list off players that have been missing. And invariably, it's the more impactful players that go on international breaks, because they're the ones that are getting picked for international sides.
Lads at Leeds, though, not think to yourselves, like, you know, even though you're leggy, look at the quality you've got. Rutter, what was it, 20 million euro out of Hoffenheim? Joel Pro, 10 million quid from Swansea. I mean, you've paid huge fees for players that have had an impact in the Championship this season. I mean, look.
You say we've got an embarrassment of riches. Is that what that is?
A little bit, Gilly. I mean, look, Ipswich's record transfer fee is 4.5 million. That's still 20 years old.
My mate's a massive Ipswich fan. He was actually due to come on tonight, but he's at a wedding. And he's been giving me it all season how far we're behind we are. And then now we've overtaken him. It's like, you've got £1 billion squad. How can't you be in front of us, sort of thing? So, yeah, I sort of take that with a pinch of salt. Rutter wasn't 35 million, by the way, those in the comments. That was the fee we would have paid had we stayed in the Premier League. I think it cost us about 25, if I remember rightly. I think there was a 10 million add-on, which we wasn't triggered because we got relegated. But, right, I just want to move things on, because I appreciate we've been on for over an hour. We've still got a couple of bits to do as well. I appreciate you all. Are you all good for time, yeah, for another sort of 10, 15 minutes?
Well, I'm still reading from the fact that I've just found out I've come off the bench here, Luke. I've got to go.
You were third, actually. We thought it was the real Matt Phillips.
yeah, sorry about that.
Tom, we'll come on to your running mate, if that's all right, really quickly. Where are we? Share screen. And there we go. Wicked. Give it to us.
Go on, then. You're not going to like it. You know that from the start. Let's be honest.
I wonder who's going to be top.
Oh, it was close. So I've got Southampton finishing fourth. I've got five wins, four draws, and one loss, putting them on 92 points. I've got Ipswich third, finish with four wins, three draws, and one loss, puts them on 96 points. 96 and not going up is crazy anyway.
It's a killer.
It's a killer, isn't it? If that's how you finish, a killer. I've got Leeds, win five, drawn three, and one loss in that lot. Sorry, no losses in that long. And you finish on 100 points. Leicester finish on 102 points, and we lose in that running, by the way. I've got us losing to Southampton in that run. I've also picked up on the next two games, like we said, over the Easter period, and out of all my fixtures, I've given us all 4 points. We all pick 4 points up from Friday and Monday's games for who we're playing. You know, if you look at Leeds, you've got Watford, but then you've got Hull away. Leicester have obviously got Bristol, and then they've got Norwich. Ipswich have obviously got Blackburn, who are giving you the 3 points, but then Southampton, I've got a draw for you guys, and then I've got Southampton beating Borough, but then drawing with Ipswich. I've given us all 4 points going over that Easter period. I think
that
said
doesn't
earlier.
Help things at all, does it?
I think that just tells you how tight it is with the four clubs. You know, there's only 2 points separating the top two, in my view, going into that final game. I think the game in hand against Southampton, it could be crucial. But for me, the next five Leicester games are the ones where we'll make or break our season. You know, if you take out, I think we'll get 3 points tomorrow. I'm confident we can go to Bristol City. Nothing to play for, safe as houses now. Players are probably on a beach down there, you know, Western Supermare, ready for their holidays. Norwich at home, tough, tricky tie, but then it's the next three for me. This could make our season. Birmingham home, Millwall away, Plymouth away. Three games where, for me, if we can go and get 9 points, it really then turns up, because after that, we obviously West Brom, Southampton. Before then, we play Preston and Blackburn. You know, the tricky tie is obviously going to be West Brom. I've already said they're having a great season. They should have probably got a point when we played them at their place and we nicked it at the end. Southampton's not going to be an easy game. I know we beat them 4-1 earlier in the season. Sorry to mention that, Martin. And we battered you that day. But it's a different team now from then. And I think that's how I looked at going into this running. Our teams are all different from where they were 10 games ago. Leicester were 17 points clear and we're all laughing. You know, it's a different time. It's different mentality from the boys now. So for me, we just nick it at the end. It's going to be tight. Like I say, Leeds don't lose a game from now to the end of the season. Leicester only lose one game. That's how much I think Leicester and Leeds are going to push on. I've got Ipswich only losing one game. It's so tight to call who's going to finish where, but I'm not going to turn around and say we're not going to finish first, because I'm dapping a Leicester fan not to try and back us. And I think, Bianchia, I think the Football League and the Premier League have put the fire in the bellies of the players now, what to need to prove a point to get back to the Premier League and say, you tried to put us off, didn't really work. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people will be anti-Leicester, and I think that might just fire the players up even more to go and get the job done now.
Wicked, yeah. That's fair. I mean, I would snap your hand off for a second, I'll be honest with you. I'd love to win the league, but with the position that we were in, obviously when we were discussing sort of Christmas time, I think it was the turn of the year where we were all the million, I think it was 1,000,001 points we were behind, weren't we? And we still managed to, you know, be in this position. I honestly couldn't see past the top two going up at that stage. I thought we'd had a really poor performance against Preston, and then was it West Brom as well, Gilly? West Brom beat us. Beat by Preston and drew with West Brom, didn't we? I think over Christmas.
Drew with West Brom.
But really, really shy performance. No, I think West Brom beat us as well.
Well, Preston did a number on us, didn't they? Because it
Preston
was that,
did away.
It was that cutting in from the
Miller.
Left and
Miller.
Yeah. And you know, he did it 3 or 4 times against us. And do you know what? You can't take that away from him. It worked for him. It was just so frustrating that game that you could see it happening and we didn't do anything about it.
Gilly, actually, while we've got you, I'll let you do our rundown here. How about that? While we're on the subject and while you're here, I will get yours out the way. Let me get that back up.
You're not gonna like it.
I better like it.
These lads are gonna prepare it. Do you know what? I change my mind every 5 minutes on this one. I think
until you heard the squad, you probably had us finishing top, didn't you? Until you said how many players they've all got available.
It is tough. You know, Bednarek coming back is a massive deal. You know, well, we've spoken through the players that the other sides have got coming back, and we're just losing players, it seems. So I think it is difficult. And I've gone from... Yeah, there's no chance of automatics. There's no chance of automatics. Convincing myself, actually, do you know what? If something miraculous happens, great. But there's no chance. Let's not have any expectation. And then all of a sudden we're top of league and you're thinking, oh, shit, it's ours to lose. And it's not really. You know, if Leicester go and win their game in hand, then they're still 3 points in front of us. I do wobble and waver. I actually have us finishing third. I think Leicester win it. I don't think that Maresca's the man for the future for them, but I think that the way that they're going to be able to corral around this, the world's against us. Leeds have done that really successfully over the years when it's happened to us and we've been backs against the wall and we've been up against it. And I just feel like they've got something that's coming together that is going to push them on and they're going to get over the line. And we've all been saying Ipswich are just going to drop away. And I don't think they are. You know, they've proven that the only reason that they're in third now is because they deserve to be. You don't be in third place 1 point off the lead at this point in the season without deserving it. And I worry that we go into the final game. Saints are the kingmakers. They have to play all three. I thought that Saints might have been a little bit more skin in the game, but I'm going to listen to a bit to Martin, who's written his own club off. So, you know, we'll take that on board. But they're the kingmakers. You know, if they get a great result against two of the sides above them, and one of the sides gets 3 points against them, that's a massive swing in those points available. I've got us finishing 1 point behind Ipswich, who finish 4 points behind Leicester.
God, and how many points do Southampton finish behind us in fourth?
Seven.
Right, blimey.
You got Leeds.
But that's because they're playing against the sides above. No, absolutely not. And you know what? I cannot even start conceiving of discussing what happens beyond the end of the regular season. Because it's not a great place for Leeds.
Hold that thought. We'll just have a bit of a discussion around that. I mean, I'm shocked that you haven't got Leeds finishing top. I've got Leeds finishing first and second. Then I'm just kidding. I would snap your hand off for automatics based on where we were in the new year. As I keep drilling that into myself, and look, we're there on merit and based on current form. There's no team in the league can touch us. In fact, there's no team in Europe that is in good a form as us. I'm hoping that continues. Obviously, we're going to have a makeshift squad this weekend, shall we say, based on probably what we have seen. And it almost feels like we might have to revert to a squad that we had towards the start of the season with Pirro playing in the 10, where we weren't as successful. We weren't as sexy as well. No, we definitely weren't as sexy then. But it just didn't work. But that is the only option I can see happening right now with Rutter recovering from an earlier operation. So, quite shocked, Gilly, actually, with that. Any of you lot shocked?
That puts us on 97. It does put us on 97 and not going up. You know, it's still a miraculous season, especially
it's crazy
from the way that the transfer window ended in the summer, because during that period we had no idea what squad we were going to have.
Can I ask you, Luke and Gilly, a quick question? Because obviously you've got Watford tomorrow. It was one of the fixtures I looked at and couldn't really point where that game is going to go. One, because of your injuries, but two, because Tom Cleverley's obviously come in there. He's got a point to prove by giving him that manager's job for the remainder of the season. Do you really feel that is a tricky tie for you boys? Like, honestly, because I couldn't pick it out. Tom Cleverley's done a great job. He went to Birmingham and got a win on his first game, I think it was. It's probably the wrong point for you boys.
I would argue it was our most complete one of our most complete performances this season at home, when we played them. I think we beat them 3-0 at our place, Gilly, if I remember rightly. I mean, you can fact check that. I'm pretty sure it was 3-0 or 3-1. But we played really, really well in that game. And for me, it was one of the best performances we've had all season. But as you say, they've got a different manager in place now. Cleverley's from Bradford as well, who hate Leeds. He played at Scum, so he's got an additional nip at a needle. Do you know what I mean? It's got all the makings for a massive day for him and a bit of an upset for us. I would be happy with 4 points from the next two. I'd take the point at Watford and beat Hull at home on what you said, Tom. I think we'd still be in good stead for the rest of the season if we can come out unscathed and unbeaten from these next two. What about you, Gilly?
Hull are in some great form, you know, and I think they're really strong on the wings. A lot of that is going to come down to the players that we've got available to us and the side that we can put out. I think if you look at... So to answer the question, I do expect us to get something against Watford. I take the point. There's a lot around it and so on, but I do expect us to go and get points there. I do think it's only four because I think we'll draw at home, which again might be a surprise to some people. But Hull are really in form, and they're one of the sides that people are going to be looking to avoid in the playoffs, I think, because they are in real form.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And just on playoffs, actually, got a question for everybody before we sort of tie up now. Three questions in one, and I just want sort of a quick explanation as to why. First of all, I'll start with you, Martin, if you like, if that's all right. Who would you hate to meet if you are in the playoffs, firstly? First question. Second question would be, which of the other managers would you prefer in charge, if not your own, for this running? And then the third question would be, if you could take any player from any of the other clubs for these last 10 or 8 or whatever games you've got left, who would it be and why? So first of all, your playoff question.
West Brom. For me, I wouldn't want to play West Brom. I think they're really good. I think Corbyn's a top manager. What was the next question?
The next question would be, which manager, from anybody in the league, I suppose, but Daniel preferably Farker. from one of the others. It would be Daniel Farker.
All day, yeah.
And then last but not least, if you could take or loan somebody for the last 10 games from another club, not to weaken them, but to strengthen you.
Tough one. I'll tell you what, I like Moore at Ipswich. I think he's been a really, really good loan signing. I'll probably take him just as a target man. We've got loads of wide men. But if we needed anything right now, we need a striker, someone like him that make an instant impact. I'd take Moore, which is a bit of a shock one, to be fair, but he's good.
Fair play. And the same question to you, Tom, please.
I think if you're looking at the playoffs, yeah, I think it's West Brom would be the team you want to avoid. They're on a fine bit run, and I think they've had a few decent results the last couple of weeks. They've really kick-started their run into the end of the season. Manager, I'd have McKenna. I really would. I like him. I think that winning mentality from last season has really pushed Ipswich on into this season. That's the thing. You would keep that winning feeling going. Really makes a difference. And obviously, I'd Nick Rutter from you guys because he's just sensational in this division, isn't he, really? He's a class above everyone else, if I'm honest with you. I think if you look at player of the season, Rutter would be probably up there, hands down, the best player of the season in the Championship for me. He started off a bit slow, but, after that 10 games, he's really got going. He's probably been your driving force for getting you up the league and above us, really.
I make you laugh, but Gilly didn't rate Rutter.
In the Premier League.
He didn't get much of a chance, in fairness, in the Premier League. He was signed as this wonder kid that was going to save our season when in realism, he was just a kid, and the unfair amount of pressure. And he was getting 10-minute cameos from Sam Allardyce. Let's be honest, he's not going to be... He's not going to turn into prime Messi, is he? Matt, those three questions to yourself, mate, please, if you will.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be meeting West Brom in the playoffs. My friend Chris Hall does Albion Analysis podcast, thinks if they play us, they'll beat us. They schooled us at the Hawthorns. We had a very entertaining 2-2 draw with them at Pullman Road. We were 2-1 down. We had to wait until 94th, 95th minute for Murray Hutchison to get us back on level terms. So I wouldn't want to be facing them across two legs. If I was to choose a manager, I'd go back to someone who's been in the Ipswich setup already and at Bristol City, Liam Manning. I'm pretty certain if McKenna was to leave, Manning would be on our radar. It's ready made that role for someone who plays good football and knows what the culture of Ipswich Town is like. And I think Liam Manning would be that. If I was to choose players, I like Mavididi at Leicester. I like Dewsbury Hall at Leicester. Joel Perreault, we really liked it when he I think he scored on his debut down at Pullman Road. But there's lots of decent players out there. But Mavididi's got a really, really good goal at Pullman Road on Boxing Day. Left side of the box, didn't need much back lifts, curled it around Haladke. It was a quality finish, and goals outside the box are goals,
Wicked. Gilly, we'll finish up with your three, mate.
Yeah, so I think I can't remember what order the questions were in, but Gaffer first.
Gaffer first.
I think it's probably McKenna. I think if you look at the way that he's instilled what is needed and the way that he's laid out exactly what he needs from his players at any given time, it's difficult. He's got a big future in the game, and I think it's testament to his mentality that he can have a setback in football early on in his career and then translate that, not think, woe is me, and just jack it in and go, do you know what? I had a bright future and it's been taken away from me through no fault of my own. He's then worked on that, pivoted to something else, and he's making a success of him. And I think that tells that he's got a big future in management for me. I think I'd go McKenna. I think in terms of teams to avoid, I'd quite fancy West Brom. And I know, given that I've said that we're going to finish third and we're going to be in the playoffs, I recognise that can really come back and bite me in the arse. I think we've gone. We lost at Christmas against them, but you know, in the last six or seven, we've really had one over on them. So I think the Corberan link, it's always added a little bit for us anyway while he's been there. So I don't know. I think for me it'd be Hull. I think Philogene has something about him. I think they've got some real capability on the wings. I think offensively, you know, we've had the conversation about Firpo a lot. Offensively, Firpo has added a lot. You know, he's getting assists and he's getting in the right positions in attack. Defensively, maybe there's still some question marks there. So I don't know. I think it'd be Hull that I'd be looking to avoid. And they're on an unbeaten run themselves. So them and West Brom are probably the form side. And Norwich, again, they are form sides going into it. But I think it'd be Hull for the reasons of the way that they're set up against yeah, teams.
I actually thought Matt was going to say Norwich just because of the, you know, the history and not beating them in 26,000 years.
We'll beat them easy. We'll beat them easy over 2 weeks. Bring it on. The shellacking.
Gillett and one player, mate, if you could nick one.
In terms of players, I really, really have an intense dislike for him, but just because of what he's done against us, I really struggle to look against beyond Vardy. He's ripped us a new one so many times. And at this level...
He's a dick,
you know,
isn't he? He's a dick. He's a shithouse. Yeah, he's the type of player you want to play against. Right with, sorry.
He's
one of those. You love him. I think you're doing him a disservice calling Robbie Savage. No, he's one of them.
He's a lot to hate, though, isn't he?
Yeah, you love him if he's in your team. You hate him if he's against you. You date playing. I were a centre back. I didn't want somebody little and quick running at me. And he's got pace to burn still now. You know, he looks even more like Steptoe than he did when he first came into the Premier League. but he's still doing it. And so I think if he's fit and firing, I struggle to look beyond him.
Yeah. Yeah, fair. Mine, really quickly, it would be McKenna. It'd be in the playoffs, it would be Coventry. I think Coventry look an handy side. That O'Hare's going to get some contracts probably in the Premier League. He's probably what most of our clubs probably is missing. And he would be my other player. He would be the player I would take from any Championship club. But from any of our clubs, it would either be Walker Peters or Pereira, I think. And Walker Peters, I just think he's class. And we that would give us freedom to put Archie into his preferred position in midfield. But also Pereira, like, as you say, he's been the cog for you and you've fallen to pieces without him. So, yeah, really, really quickly put. But I think that's about it for the running, lads. I think, has anybody, would you like to add anything before we close? I'll come round you all. Martin, is there anything you want to throw out there before we finish up? Thanks for spending an hour and a half with me on your Thursday night, by the way.
No, I've really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed your company. Looking forward to the running. I think it's going to be really intriguing. I think there'll be loads of twists and turns, and there'll probably be some permutations that we haven't pulled out. But you just never know in football, do you? Strange things happen in football, and there's never been a harder season to be in the Championship, fighting for promotion. I think it's going to be better viewing than the Premier League will be to finish off. I really do.
I prefer it anyway. I'll be honest with you, for many reasons, yeah, no, but we won't go into that too much. But where can people find you, Martin, if people want to hear you or talk to you a little bit more?
Yeah, no, I'm a TikToker really, so I do a lot of TikTok content, a lot of daily TikTok content around Southampton. So give me a follow at @footballmartin_ there. I've got a YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, please do subscribe to me at @footballmartin_. I create matchday vlogs, and if you're an away fan, and you're visiting St Mary's in the next couple of weeks, I'd love to talk to you and get you on my channel. And I'll be travelling to a few away games as well. Unfortunately, can't get to Portman Road on Monday because I would have loved to have met Matt. Might get to meet Tom when I go up to the KP in a couple of weeks. And then Luke and Gilly, you never know. If I can get a ticket for Ellen Road, I'll definitely come and find you too.
I'll promise you, you do not want to meet me on the last day of the season. The state I'm going to be in, mate. Far, but,
yeah, I've never been to Ellen Road, so it's somewhere I really want to go. But yeah, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Cheers, Martin. Thanks for coming on. Tom, anything you'd like to add, mate?
Well, first, thanks for having on, Guy. And it's been a great chat. I think we're all quite excited and nervous as well going into the final 9, 10, 8 games, considering we've all got a different amount to play. But it's not going to be easy. I think we all know that. I think we all sit here now thinking no one is going to walk away with it. We thought we were at one point. we did. I'm not going to deny that. But, you know, no one is now, and everyone's got a chance of going up. You know, I think Southampton are probably just a bit too far for me to get that automatic spot. But the other three, anyone can take it. And it's who's got the bottle to finish the job now. So, look, exciting times ahead. I'm looking forward to it. And I prefer the Championship to the Premier League most of the time anyway. You know, it's been great to have no VAR this season. I think we all sit here and agree on that one thing for sure. No VAR, celebrate the goal when it hits the back of the net and there's no looking around to wait for a sign to be made that it's going to the TV screen. There's a lot more football than looking at the monitors every single time. So, no, long and nine games for us all, but nah, looking forward to it. And cheers for having on, guys. It's been great.
Pleasure. Cheers, Tom. Where can people find you? You're on Leicester Fan TV, is it?
Yeah, Leicester Fan TV. Or if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Tom at LFTV. And I do quite a bit on there myself anyway. But yeah, otherwise, drop us all at Leicester Fan TV. There's 5, 6, 7 of us who all do bits and pieces throughout the week. And, you know, all massive Leicester diehard Leicester fans, including Jamie, who's in Alcudia. Who, well, what can I say? He comes back when he can.
Can't be bad. Thanks ever so much for that, Tom.
Cheers,
Matt,
guys.
Any last words? Not last ever. I mean,
is that it? Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing me off the suspense, Luke. I appreciate that. Look, well done to all of you. I mean, look, we've gone through our predictions. We're all on 90 points plus. As we said earlier, that would generally get you second, probably winning the title. So it's been phenomenal. Ipswich fans would tell you under the Marcus Evans era for 20 years after we got relegated out of the Premier League, we were just treading water. I mean, McCarthy come in, bored us to tears. Paul Lambert got us relegated, albeit he tried to keep us up. And now we're kind of living the high life a little bit. Do you know what I mean? We didn't expect to be here. We're enjoying the ride. We're the underdogs in this. You know, you've got your parachute payments completely. Even though we're pretty well off financially now with our ownership, it still gets dwarfed by the parachute payments that you get. But there's no pressure on us. We're going to enjoy the ride. I still think we'll probably finish third. Let's see what the playoffs brings. But it's been a very entertaining season. Like I say, a lot of Ipswich fans, season was over by January, February. So to be even knocking on the door of the Premier League, you know, with this new investment that's coming for town, it's great. And to see kids walking around Ipswich now with players' names on backs of shirts, and they're invested in McKenna and the lads that have come in, like Connor Chaplin and Kiefer Moore. And, you know, we weren't getting this even like 4 or 5 years ago. So it's brilliant to see. And we'll see where the journey takes us.
Brilliant. Yeah, so many similarities to our story. Like when we were promoted to the Premier League under Marcelo, it just brought that feeling, that good feeling around the city back. And where can people find you, Matt, if they want a bit more ITFC content?
Talking Town, we do shows on after every game, but also we have our flagship show on Sunday. We have our preview show, which Martin's been on a Wednesday. Just hit into YouTube, Talking Town ITFC, and put the same internet where you'd get your audio podcast, Talking Town ITFC.
Spot on. Perfect. Thank you ever so much, all of you, for giving your time up tonight. It's been a fantastic show. Really appreciate it. Maybe we'll get together a little bit closer to the end of the season if it's still a four-horse race or whatever, and maybe have a bit more of a chat. More than happy for us guys to. There's five of us that do this podcast as well, so there's always somebody available if you ever need anybody. That in mind, do smash a like and subscribe, please, if you are here. Pay your rent. We'll be back after. In fact, we might be back Friday morning to do a preview for Watford, I think, some of the lads, because we didn't have a main pod this week. If not, we'll be back for a Brady and Coke after the game at Watford, and then after the whole game as well. Anything else to add? Oh, one other thing I do need to add. Do follow me on Twitter specifically, but ought to know better as well. I'm about to start a 3,000 push-ups in press-ups. Sorry, we're English, not American. In 300 press-ups in April for cancer research, which I'm starting. So if you can share it, that's great. If you can afford to donate £1, that'd be even better. But yeah, thank you so much for that. Gilly, anything to add?
Yeah, just a couple of real quick things. So regular watchers will know that we're Advocates Founders Man Club. At the weekend, I'm still struggling from it now. At the weekend, we did a long walk across Leeds. So for you guys that don't know, there's murals that popped up all over Leeds, that artwork that have been done by Leeds fans and celebrating ex-players, ex-managers, current players and what have you. And we did, in memory of Gary Speed, we did a walk all across the town. I think we were 28 kilometres, I think it was, in the end, and we raised over £3,000 now it is, including the gift aid. So thank you to everybody that's donated and shared and that supported us. And then last night, friend to the pod, Stats, LUFC Stats, ran a quiz at Elland Road, and that was in aid of the Leeds United Foundation, which helps communities and so on through the power of football, but also for Andy's Man Club as well. So that was split donations there across there, and that raised over £2,000 as well. So in terms of the charity stuff, we've had a pretty good week. But congratulations to Stats that ran a successful quiz and they made some good money on the night as well. It was a really good event. It was nice.
Brilliant. Sounds brilliant. Gilly. Well done. Brilliant.
Thanks for that. Look, massive respect to you all. Good luck with the rest of your seasons and what's been the running. But at the end of the day, all Leeds, aren't we?
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Thank you for listening to another Otto Know Better podcast, the independent Leeds United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoKnowBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke aftermatch podcasts. We've 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.